Right now, it's still talking about education and the start of the educational year. We are joined on the line by Anel Berger, who is the chairperson of Cape Home Educators, which is the oldest home education association in South Africa. And many, many people in South Africa, or an increasing number, I would say, from anecdotal evidence, is interested or already have, you know, dipped their feet into home education, particularly, you know, in the last few years, and accelerated during the time of lockdown and during the time of the pandemic. And she's brought our attention to a proposed change to the law, which will effectively, according to this particular piece, outlaw home education in its current form. Let's find out more and hear what the risks are from Anel herself, who's kindly made time for us this evening. Anel, great speaking to you. Good evening, and thank you so much for your time.
Good evening, Ibrahim, and thank you very much for inviting me to your show, and also good evening to all the listeners.
I really, really appreciate the time that you've made for us this evening, and I think a critical time to be bringing up this discussion. Many people have a particular cause in mind when it comes to education and the new school year on our doorstep for the majority of South Africans. Just to put us in the picture, I mentioned that you're the chairperson of Cape Home Educators. Tell us a bit about who exactly that is, and where do you fit into the jigsaw when it comes to home education here in South Africa?
Okay, Cape Home Educators was started 25 years ago. It is run by volunteer home education families. And the aim of Cape Home Educators is to promote home education and to support home education families, and then also to engage with government on behalf of home educators in the Western Cape. I myself am a home education mom. We started about 5 years ago when my husband was temporarily employed in Qatar. And I was forced to home educate, very similar to what lockdown parents experienced recently. I never thought I would home educate. I thought parents to do that have supernatural powers and can achieve much more than I would ever be able to. But then when I was forced into the situation, I was amazed at the whole process, how my son at that stage, he was 7 years old, how he developed a desire to learn, a love for learning. His curiosity blossomed, and within a very short period, I became completely convinced of the benefits of home education. And when we returned to South Africa, I continued to home educate, and I became involved as an activist, and that finally led me to Cape Home Educators, and now I'm acting as the chairperson.
Thank you so much for that background. In your piece, I think some people just blissfully go through the process, you know, as they pick it up, and depending on your level of engagement with the system, perhaps you'd be concerned about legalities, some more than others. Some just blissfully go with the system and, you know, discover their feet as they go on, and perhaps might be unaware of the broader structures and the struggles that have been fought for people to homeschool in South Africa over a period of time. So as it stands, for a person to homeschool their children in South Africa, what's the status and how did we get to that particular status?
Yes, home education became legal in 1996 after the apartheid government had prohibited it. And at that time, it was estimated that only about 50 families home educated their children. They fought a hard fight. At least two parents went to prison for the right to home educate their children. And from there, home education grew. The national census of 2011 indicated that about 57,000 learners were home educated. And we don't have accurate numbers now, but it is estimated that the number of home educated pupils now exceed 120,000. Yes, so under the Schools Act of 1996, home education is legal. And families have embraced this approach to education. And that is why we are concerned about the new regulations imposed, because home education uses a variety of approaches and curricula that is suited to the child. It is an individualized approach, child-led, with child interest and child-paced.
I want to ask you, you know, how did this new legislation come? It's not yet gazetted, but obviously there's serious concerns that it might be signed into law anytime soon. But, you know, before I explore even how the space of home education has evolved and developed in the last few years, just to pick up from what you said, and I'm curious to know, in these years from 1996, where it has been illegal here in South Africa, has the relationship with the government on home education been a calm one? Has the government been supportive of home education, or has it been rocky even during these interim years when people are doing things above board?
I can't answer you that out of my personal experience, as I've only reached 5 years ago, I started my home education journey. So my experience is different to those who started really early on. I think there was always a lack of understanding, and we experience it even today still, that especially government officials do not understand what home education is and why it is different to school or institutional education. And I know that that caused friction, because if you... The best way I can probably describe it is that to use the rail transport and road transport, they are both means to transport goods and people from point A to point B. They have to be safe and reliable, but you can't apply the regulations for road traffic to rail traffic or vice versa, because they are just so completely different. And so education officials we always wanted to assess home educated learners by the school system, because that's what they know, that's what they've been taught, that's what they are familiar with. But home education is a completely different approach. So you need different methods to measure it and to regulate it. And that's where the main friction came in, because if we're talking about the education of a child, we are talking about giving them life skills that will help them to become successful adults, where they can function by themselves, where they can be independent and happy adults. So we want to teach them the skills of learning how to learn, knowing where to find answers, being able to think critically and creatively, working in collaboration, having good communication skills. Those are the things that we want to focus on in education, and not necessarily, a set of textbooks that you need to complete and memorize and regurgitate. That's not, the textbooks have its place and we use them as well. But to say that, there's only one way to educate your child is not true. There are many ways to educate a child. And after the friction in the past has always been about, but how do I measure it? Because you don't do it the way I do it.
And then in these past few years, culminating with the years of lockdown and the pandemic, Anel, how have we seen the space grow and diversify? And again, I guess it goes back to your point that, we cannot just talk about homeschooling as one generic category, because so many people are doing so many different things, using so many different approaches because of what you've just spoken about, the uniqueness of the child and the uniqueness of people's pursuits.
Yes, the period of lockdown has definitely driven the growth in the, let's call it, education from home. because you have distance learning via your online schools or a service provider who gives you, you know, a set box that you use. And it's very much like attending school, but just not going to school. You do it from home. And then home education, which I spoke about a little bit earlier, that is more child-led, child-based education. Yeah, there's been a major drive in online schools. We've seen the emergence of new online schools and parents, you know, wanting to offer their children a safe environment. I think many parents felt frustrated with health concerns at school during lockdown and just the fact that, you know, the schools are closed, so you have to provide for your children. So online schools have definitely seen an increase in growth. Home education also, but I would say it's only now that home education probably grows again because so many parents had to crisis school. So you get material from the school and you need to, you know, continue with that. You're concerned that your child will have to write exam at the end of the year and will they be prepared? So it's easier to go to an online school where everything is set out for you, especially for parents who work full-time and, you know, has never considered home education. Online school offers a very good route for them to take. But then as parents start working from home and they see how much their children grow and, you know, and they can experience those milestones and see how a child's interest is developed in a specific area. And if you can use a more relaxed approach, how much more in-depth the child studies, that's when people then start going more towards an eclectic approach, you know, still using some of the school textbooks and possibly some of the lessons that they teach either via prior pre-recorded video lessons or live sessions. But you then start incorporating more and more of what your child is interested in, using more storybooks to teach life skills and involving them in your everyday life. So in terms of growth, I don't have numbers. Unfortunately, research is very scant on home education. But judging by the numbers that our support groups and social media groups have grown by, there's definitely more interest in educating from home and then home education.
If you could just clarify this metaphor, Anel, homeschooling versus online schooling, because that seems to be, like you've mentioned in your piece, and I think you mentioned a bit earlier in this discussion as well, one of the areas where the government seems to lump the two together. But even from my perspective, looking at it from the outside, it seems as if there are some areas where the two could very easily be confused or the lines could be blurred, because a person could be homeschooling their child, but doing that homeschooling based on some online program or the other. So, you know, how would you then differentiate between online schooling and homeschooling?
Homeschooling, or let's call it home education, is where the parent and the child directs the education. So you do not follow a prescribed curriculum and a roster and prescribed subjects. So home education is where you are child-led and child-based. Online schooling and some of the packages that that service providers offer are much more like school but at home. You still attend lessons. Some of them are pre-recorded. Others are live lessons. You have to do the same set of subjects. You have to complete them within the year. You have to write tests, do assessments. It is basically copying school but doing it at home. There's not that much flexibility as you have with home education, where take my son, for example. He enjoys history. And, you know, when we start working through our book and we, you know, get to an interesting point in the chapter, I can continue. I don't have to say, oh, sorry, you know, sorry, the 45 minutes for the lesson is over. We have to stop now and continue with our other subject. We can do history for a whole day. We can do history for a whole week, and then focus on, you know, another subject, whatever he's interested in. So, yeah, the big difference is in the terms of the flexibility and the choice that you have. I think, yeah, that's about the best way I can explain it to you at the moment.
Indeed, I understand that, and that obviously feeds on to but later on why would the government and the the lawmakers or the decision makers that be not seem to understand what you've just explained to us, which brings us then to this Basic Education Law Amendments Bill and concerns are now related to homeschooling. Because I did ask you at the beginning the journey till this point, and I think that was not insignificant, because if people have fought so hard for this right, it would really be painful. It would really be a travesty if that right would be lost without any sound basis to that decision. What are the concerns that you are voicing regarding this bill?
As I mentioned in the piece in the Daily Maverick, we are concerned about the regulation that says that the minister may make any regulations relating to home education, the registration of it and the administration of it. And we're concerned because this will give the minister free rein and very little accountability. Then another thing that home educators are very concerned about is the fact that registration requires asking permission from an official. Skype Home Educators did a survey last year, and 94% of the respondents indicated that they are opposed to registration that requires approval. And here I want to emphasize that home educators are not against registration per se, but we are opposed to the requirements of registration. The other thing that we spoke about or touched on a little bit is that the proposed regulations do not allow for the variety of approaches to home education and the different curricula used.
So with this being the response from the department here in South Africa, I mean, are we in any position to be able to put forward submissions to be able to make the voices heard, or are we on the brink of this being signed in law with the voices of home educators not being heard at all?
Fortunately, we still have opportunity to send in our comments. The bill will now move through Parliament, and part of that process is another time of public comments. It can either be written submissions again or even public hearings. So we would encourage all home educators to please then participate, send in your comments. Even in preparation for it, approach your local government representative, or provincial government representative, and to join home education associations across the country. We still have the opportunity to make our voices heard, and I encourage all home educators to do it.
But for an ordinary person out there, and we hope it doesn't go that way, but there's probably many people listening this evening, Anel, who do home educate their children. Is this going to you've explained the various areas of contention. Is this going to be a big game changer for people who are doing this in terms of legality if this passes from day one? Is this effectively going to throw people's entire futures into balance? Is that serious?
It might. We are really concerned about the legislation because we, as parents, have chosen a direction, a method, an approach to education that we know is in the best interest of our child. We want to prepare them the best way we possibly can so that they can be successful adults. We want them to study at tertiary institutions should they wish to do so, or be self-employed and, you know, create job opportunities. And when you have created that love for learning and natural curiosity, and you've invested in this education approach, to then suddenly have to change and tell your son, I'm sorry, we have to study this today, and I can't tell you why it's important. I can't tell you, you know, why you should learn it. It's just that you have to learn it, and now you have to write an exam about it. I'm really concerned that will just kill their enthusiasm, and, you know, it will make children despondent. There was an article recently published, I can't remember which news agent published it, but was on research done on the Montessori approach to education. And Montessori celebrated their 100th year this year. And Montessori is one of the approaches that home educators use because it is child-led, play incorporated, and, you know, a child investigating and finding the information and not just sitting there waiting to be taught. And the research showed that adults who even just had 2 years of a Montessori school are happier than those who attended a normal school. And I think happiness, you often think, oh, who wants to be a happy adult? But a happy adult is a productive adult. And it is an adult that does not depend on government or other institutions for their well-being. So I think if we can aim to, you know, have happy adults, I think that's something to go for.
Indeed, and a final one for you is regarding the Basic Education Law Amendments Bill, which you've spoken to us about, and the concerns about Bella as it's abbreviated. Is there a central platform, perhaps some organizations to watch out for, petitions that are out, anything of that sort, that would be able to give people in the home education space direction as to how and when to respond at critical times?
I think I can again just suggest that families join the provincial home education associations. If you search on Facebook, you'll find a number. Further, I can suggest that they contact Cape Home Educators. Our website is www.capehomeed.co.za, and we can direct them to their provincial home education association. The associations are in contact with each other. There are a number of associations and interested people who have joined a coalition called Liberty in Learning, where we try to coordinate our responses and work together, because the home education community is scattered across the country, and it's, you know, we've started to mobilize ourselves and to group and organize ourselves so that we have more of a united voice. So through those channels, we will definitely keep home educators informed of when it is the next opportunity to write your submissions or prepare a speech. You can contact Cape Home Educators, and we will direct you to your provincial home education association, or a Google search might also just lead you in the right direction.
Indeed, thank you so much for that. It will also monitor the developments regarding the bill, and obviously as it passes through the parliamentary process, catch up with the likes of yourself to be able to give the wider community as well as home educators further direction. Anel, great speaking to you. Thank you so much for your time and taking out the space to speak to us. Thank you so much, and have a great evening and weekend.
Thank you very much.